Good evening. I'd like to begin this set of shiurim on the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, 13 Principles of Faith. The first point is to emphasize that according to the Rambam, there are dogmas in Judaism. So the position ascribed to Moses Mendelssohn of the dogmalessness of Judaism is, of course, disputed by the Rambam. There are dogmas. Maybe our dogmas are not understood in the exact same way that Christians have dogmas, but we still have dogmas. There's actually a wide and quite fascinating debate among different Rishonim, what are the dogmas in Judaism? Some named Professor Menachem Kellner wrote a whole book on the topic. So we, of course, are going to focus on the Rambam, and hopefully every shiur will be self-contained, so even if you miss one dogma, you can come another time and catch another dogma. So we're going to start with the first Yesod. The Rambam, in Perish HaMishnayis and Maseches Sanhedrin, works off the famous Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yesh L'Mechelek L'Yom Haba, everyone has a share into the world to come, which according to the Rambam means everyone can potentially attain immortality of the soul, which means, according to the Rambam, eternity of the intellect. Then the Mishnah says that some people do not attain Olam Haba equal immortality of the soul equals eternity of the intellect. In other words, if there are some false conceptions in the soul, which according to Rambam is equivalent to the intellect, that will thwart a person from preserving that intellect to the world to come after one's death. So therefore, it behooves us to know what are the correct thoughts we should have. So with that hakdama, let's read right away the Yesod HaRishon. Of course, the Rambam wrote Perash Mishnah in Arabic, Judeo-Arabic, and I'm reading Rav Kapach's translation in the Hebrew. One, HaYesod HaRishon, Metzios HaBorei Yishtabach, the existence of God. Vahu, Sheyesh Sham, there is there. That's an Arabism. A lot of times Ram will add Sham. You don't really need it. It's not to be understood as shame. That's wrong. Sham. There is there. We would just say simply in English, there is. Matsui Bishlemus Ofanei HaMetzius. There is a perfect being, perfect in its existence. And then Vahu Ilas, which is the cause of Metzius Kol HaNimtzaim. This, of course, is what Aristotle talks about of the first cause. Aristotle believed in God. What he did not believe in is that God created this universe, Yesh Me'ayim. We'll get to that later. But the Rambam felt you're able to translate what we understand as belief in God into these same categories. The first cause, Uvo Kiyum Mitziusam, God helps sustain the existence of everything in the universe. Umimenu, and from this first being, Dimshach Lehem Akiyum, their existence is able to be held. Now the Rambam is going to now present an idea. I'm going to say it outside, then we'll read it inside, then we'll read it inside in other sources, that we can imagine God without a universe, but we cannot imagine a universe without God. I'll say that again. In other words, God is the only necessary being. The universe is what we'd call in philosophic terms contingent. It could be here, it could not be here. Any one of us, we could be here. We are all accidents. We could be here, we could not be here. We all happen to be here. The Rambam is not one of those Barclay that, in the 18th century, that you just deny the evidence of your senses, that how do I know you exist? All I know is that I see something. The Rambam doesn't go for that. But the Rambam does go for the idea that the existence of everything else in the universe besides God is only contingent. Let's read that. The Ilu Nita'er, if we would ascribe to ourselves siluk mitziyuso, if we would assume there is no God, ki az b'teila mitziyus kol nimtza, then there would be no possibility of any other existence at well. V'lo yisharu kimim b'mitziyus. But the other way around, the ilo nitza er siluk kol nimtzim zulaso, if we would hypothetically imagine that there's no universe, there still would be a God. Ki az lo tivatel mitziyuso yisalah. This, by the way, is, of course, totally opposed to these Kabbalistic notions of, like, ein melech below am, right? You can't have a king without a nation, so therefore you can't have God without a universe. Ram, just forget about all that. Below techzar, ki hu, God, yisallah, bilti zakuk b'metziu sol lezula sol. God, as this perfect being, does not have any needs, does not need the existence of the universe. But everything else in the universe needs the God to put it into being. Kloma ha-malachim. Here the Ram right away tells you, the Ram understands the idea of an angel. The Ram does believe in angels, but the Rambam disputes the notion that they are creatures with, you know, white wings and cherubic faces that go flying around. According to the Rambam, a angel, a malach, is a seichel nivdal, right? It's like, if you can imagine an intellect, the form, which is the intellect, without any matter. Klo ha-malachim, and also the garme ha-galgalim. Remember, the Rambam had a Ptolemaic picture of the universe. That means everything goes around the earth, and therefore all the planets, which according to the Rambam are beings higher than human beings, are revolving around the earth, and all of the planets have intellects, schalim, connected to each of the planet, that is the source of motion. Now this, by the way, is a famous medieval joke that, what do they do in the Middle Ages? They were wondering, what do the angels do? They were busy moving the planets around. This actually is not that far from what the realm actually understood, which is a classic medieval orientation of the matter. The point I want to make is that according to the Rambam, even these higher beings, i.e. the angels, need, i.e. these separate intellects that are involved in the motion of the planets, need God, but God does not need them. That is, in other words, when we say the first principle is the belief in God, what does it mean, God? God means the only necessary being, right? The being that is not, that is wholly, wholly, completely other than any existent, the being that does not need anything else, and that is responsible for the sustenance of everything else. Then the Rambam, by the way, in his Ikrim, the Rambam starts with the idea, then he says, by the way, what I'm saying philosophically is also the interpretation of a pasuk. V'zeh ha'yisod ha'rishon, hu Hashem mora lav dibur, onochi Hashem, right, elokech Hashem tzidich ha'mitzrayim, etc. Okay, that is the first fundamental belief. Now, if you look, by the way, the Rambam repeats this in his other works as well. Let's take, for example, Sefer HaMitzvos. Now, the Rambam writes that it is a mitzvah to know this. Let's read this. Hu atzivuy shetzivanu, right? Lamino elohus, hu shenamin sheyesham ilah v'sibah, cause. I'm reading this is Kabach's translation. Sefer Mitzvahs also was written in Arabic, and it's just about, maybe minor difference in detail, just about the same thing. Hu poel acholim nimtzos, vu amru yisbarach onochi Hashem elokecha. Then the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos adds a famous Gemara that he feels fortifies this, that it's a mitzvah to believe in, to know, that should be the better translation, mitzvah to know that there is a God. I'm going to, in a few minutes, make the distinction between believing in God and knowing that there is a God. The Rambam, according to, let's say, the Mishnah Torah, which we'll read, and also Rabbi Chaim Heller's translation of Sefer Mitzvah says the correct translation of the Rambam should be to know that there's a God. I'll get back to this. In Sefer Mitzvos, the Ram quotes the famous Gemara. Sof Gemara Makos Amru, Taryag Mitzvos Nemru Lo L'Moshe B'Sinai. Famous Gemara, 613 Mitzvos. Mikra, what is the biblical verse that teaches of this? Torah Tzivolano Moshe. Torah is Gematria 611. Tav plus Vav plus Resh plus Hey. So V'Hikshu Al Zeh, say, wait a minute. You said there are 613 Mitzvos. You just told me, you just used your gematria to prove 611. So even by your own terms, you're missing two. Vamru tar v'gematria hechi hava, shismeya v'chatzare havai, 611. V'haisa hachuva, anochi, that there is a God, v'lo yeh mipi agvura shma'um. Okay, in other words, they want the first two mitzvot were not taught by Moshe, Torah Tzivolano Moshe, they were taught, as it were, by God Himself. The point of all this is to say that knowing that there is a God isn't just an assumption of the system, it's not just an axiom of the system, it is actually one of the 613 mitzvot themselves. But this, of course, was disputed by many people along the way in Jewish history. Others have said, no, you don't count it as a mitzvah, it's the axiom of the whole system. If you don't believe in God, the whole system is meaningless. The Rambam doesn't say that. Okay, then he says, Hinei kfar yisbar lecha, ki enochi Hashem, mechlal sheish miyos v'shlosh esrei mitzvos, v'hu tzivoy. Right? Be'muna kamosha be'yarnu. Now, the way I read it, you know, the word emuna today, we have, that's Rav Kapach's translation of the Arabic. It's a long, long discussion. I don't have it here. Does he have it in Rav Kapach's Rav Chaim Heller's version of Sefer Mitzvos, what is the correct translation of the Arabic word? Now, see, today, when we say belief, we often think, oh, it's something absurd, but I believe it anyway. Is that what the Rambam is saying? Maybe not. And we're going to see from the Mishnah Torah that clearly is not what he's saying. Now, this verse Yisod, and he writes in the beginning of Mishnah Torah, Hilchi Yisod HaTorah, Peg Rishon Aloch Aleph, Yisod HaYisodos Bamud HaChachmos, the fundamental of everything and of all wisdom is Leida, to know, Sheyesha Matsui Rishon. So remember, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam wrote in Hebrew, so there's no ambiguity here. It's not a Hebrew translation of Arabic word that you know, there's a whole discussion when Reb Sadigon writes Emunos Videos. So what does that mean? Right? That in fact the two different English translations of Emunos Videos have, right, there's the Rosenblatt translation and the Altman translation have different English translations of what this book is. Which one is, you know, just the belief, which one is actually knowledge. So here in Hebrew it's Leida, to know. To know something, according to the Rambam, is to know its causes. In other words, like in mathematics, you're able to prove something. Leida sheyesha motzu rishon, the who mamtzi, he produces everything, kol hanimtza, kol hanimtza mishamayim v'aretz, masha b'neihem, lo nimtzu, elo miyamatasi matzu, anything exists only because of this God. Then the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah proceeds to say the same thing we read several minutes ago in the Perish Mishnayos. V'myale, if you could conceive that God doesn't exist, nothing else would exist. V'myale al-adash, who ain't no matzu, ain't over echad yochli matzos. But reverse, v'myale al-adash, ain't kolim tzom l'vada matzuyim, God could still exist. V'l'vada yem matzu v'yvatel hu l'vi tulam. Shekol is exactly what we read in the Perish Mishnah. Shekol in tzoyim tzrichim lo, v'hu baruch hu, Eino tzarech lahem. God needs nothing and nobody. Therefore, the truth of God is more fundamental than the truth of any one of us. Eino mitas kamitaso echad mehem. Now, we saw in Perish HaMishnah and in Sefer Mitzvos, Ram quotes the pasuk, Onochi Hashem Elokecha. But that is not expressing this truth. There's another Pasuk Ram quotes. Hu she'anavi omen Yirmiyahu v'ashem Elokim emes. Right, it's like the Pasuk, like when we say the Shema, then we say emes. That's the same connection. In other words, hu levado ha-emes. The only real reality is God. Because only God is the only necessary being. The ein la'acher emes kamitaso. For hu she'tor omer is ein od milvado. What does it mean there's nothing else besides God? Now, Poshup Shal, you might say, means an expression of monotheism is only one God and not two gods. I'm saying that's not what's going on in that Pasuk. That Pasuk is saying there is nothing in the universe that has the same level of truthful existence as God. There is no other being like God. Kolomar, ein sham matsui emes milvado kimoso. Okay. Amazing. Now, one second. If the Rambam, which that's why I'm understanding is doing here, is saying you have to know that there is God, not just a question of belief, but knowledge, or knowledge, according to Aristotle, according to medieval Aristotelians, means knowledge which causes. Thus, we have to have at least some type of rudimentary proof. The Rambam supplies this in a very rudimentary fashion in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Sotah Torah, Halacha Hey. Hamatsui hazeh, this being, who Elokei ha'olam adon kol ha'aretz, the God of the world, he has been poetic here, the Lord of the whole land, v'hu hamanhig ha'galgal, he is the prime mover of the spheres, b'koach she'ein lo keitz v'tachlis, a eternal power, b'koach she'ein lo hefsek. Okay, now get ready, this is going to be a rudimentary expression of what's called the cosmological proof of the existence of God. In other words, how do you know there's a God? Well, we'll look at the cosmos, and we'll see a phenomenon that seems not to be understandable, and the only way we can understand it is by positing the existence of a God. Shehagalgal sovev tamid. The spheres might refer here to the artemosphere. You see, someone can claim, as has been claimed, well, maybe it's just that, you have all the spheres running around the Earth. So, you know, the sphere of Mars, let's say it's Earth, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. So, well, do you know why the sphere of the Moon is moving? Because the sphere of Mercury is pushing it, right? But who's pushing the outermosphere? Right? The E-F-sha she-yiso below misave. This is called argument from motion. Right? Something that moves has to have a mover. So that's the answer. Right? The outermost sphere is being moved. Who's moving it? V'hu baruch hu ha-misavev oso. So therefore, right, God is moving it below yad u below guf. Then he goes again. V'yedias davar zeh mitzvas asei. Shenemar achi Hashem elokecha. That already we've seen already in the first ikar as presented in Perasha Mishnah. Now, v'chol hamale al dait. In other words, the Ram says you have to have this cosmological proof of the existence of God in your head at all times. Because kol hamal al dar sheyesham eloka acher chutz mizeh over below sase shenemar lo yelach elokim achirim al panai the kofer but ikar. What does that mean? People use the word kohen ram and kfira is used, in a very technical sense. You are denying the theological fundament of the existence of God. The kofer but ikar shezel ikar hagadol shahakol. Talui bo.
Okay. Or you went to the end.
Well, what?
Which question is that? Or you went wait to the end?
It'll wait for the end. Now, obviously, I know the Rambam is pre-Kant. I believe me. I know all the problems with that. I know all the issues and problems that we living in 2010 will have with various facets of this. So that's I'm aware of that, but I'm presenting what the Rambam is doing. You know, again, I don't want to bring the Rambam down to us. I want to just see, let's try to get up to where the Rambam is holding. So I want to add two more points, and you know, I'll tell you what, I'll add two more points, then we're going to have a discussion. So again, this idea that God is the only, point number one, this idea that God is the only necessary being and everything else is contingent, this of course was enunciated by the famous Arab philosopher Ibn Sina, or known in Latin as Avicenna. He had this idea, again, that God is the only necessary being, but we are only contingent. So what's interesting is that Ram here does not supply a proof, but in the Mor Nevuchim, he has a separate proof for the existence of God besides the cosmological proof based on this idea that God is the only necessary being. Now, in history of philosophy, basically the three main people, maybe others, that use this proof, you have, first of all, you have in the Christian world, Habdil, you have Saint Anselm. He had this idea of what's called the ontological proof of existence of God, and Descartes had it in a similar fashion, and Spinoza had it in a similar fashion. So there are those, if you look at the history of philosophy in general, that put Ibn Sina's point in that general rubric. Basically, it goes, so I'm going to give a rudimentary, probably not entirely fair presentation, but just to say what it is. It's a Mor Nevuchim Chelek Beis, Perek Beis. It goes as follows. Well, we know that we are here. Now, logically, we're saying that every being is contingent, right? We could be here, we could not be here. If our parents would not have met, we wouldn't be here. Okay, so there's another principle called the principle of plenitude. Principle of plenitude means anything that can happen will at one point eventually happen. You eventually will have somebody as strong as Babe Ruth to hit, given the state of baseball in 1920s, to still hit, 60 home runs, right, without steroids. Okay, right? Anything that can happen will eventually happen. So, if all existence is contingent, therefore there should eventually arise a time, called a T1, where there would be nothing, right? Because in any situation, right, everything's contingent, so there should be a time where there will be absolutely nothing. But there never has been a time where there was absolutely nothing. So why is that? So the only way to make sense out of that is that there must be a necessary being who is not contingent, and who is overseeing everything and making sure that that eventuality is not happening. Okay, that's so in other words, the point of all this is, you know, how strong or not strong that proof is. I didn't do justice to it right now. You have to really see beginning second chelik of Mor Nevuchim. And the point is, when the Rambam says that God is necessary and everything else is contingent, these ideas form the substrate of another proof of the existence of God. Not just the cosmological proof of the existence of God, talking about motion of the heavens, but somewhat akin to what is called the ontological proof of the existence of God, right? And if you understand it in a metaphysical way, just thinking about the nature of God itself, that could lead to that conclusion. Okay, that's point number one. Okay, then I'll make another point. The Rama, according to this, everything we've said here, it's not that, well, it's a religious, something that which is absurd, but it's a religious duty to believe in God. Remember, the Rambam does not say it's a part of religion. He says, Yesod ha-yesodos, v'amud ha-chachmos. Chachma in the Rambam is defined as knowledge. This leads us to, I have to bring it up, the very famous and contentious Rambam. What about somebody that, a non-Jew who does not believe that there was a Torah, but still on his own came to the belief in God? That's a famous Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchos Melachim, Halach Yad Aleph. I'll read it. Call him a Kabbalah Sheva Mitzvos, V'nizar L'Sosan. If a non-Jew accepts the seven Mitzvos B'nei Noach, you know, again, Noah Avodah Zarah, right, there's a mnemonic, Aleph to Zion. No Avodah Zarah, no cursing God, no stealing, no arayos, no murder, no blaspheme of God, and also dinim, basic civil law. So call him a Kabbalah Sheva Mitzvos, V'nizar L'Sosan, raising me Chassidei Umos Olam, V'yesho Chek Lilam Haba. But the who, that's only, you're only Chassidei Umos Olam, Sheyakabel Osim V'yase Osan, V'bnei Shetziva V'hen HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah V'odiyan Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu Sheminoch Lekon Nistabu V'hen. But let's say he comes to it himself. Avalim Osam V'nei Hechrei Adas, Ein Zeh Ger Toshav, V'einu Mechassidei HaOlam. Now there's two Gersels here. Either V'lo Mechachameihem, or Ela Mechachameihem. Very, very big difference. So, a lot of people have attacked the Rambam because they had the Gersa of, or they wanted to have the Gersa, the attack of V'lo Mechachameihem. That was Spinoza's Gersa, that was Moses Mendelssohn's Gersa. But if there's someone in YU named Professor Dienstag, who passed away several years ago, he, the story with him apparently was he was in World War II fighting in Italy, and he was coming under fire or something, and he said, if I ever get out of this alive, for the rest of my life, I will do every day, I will study some Rambams. The Kachava, he made it. So apparently he did a study on all the manuscripts, one of the things he did, of this Rambam. So apparently the oldest evidence we have from the 1300s is pretty clear that the right gear says Ela Mechachameihem. So, assuming that, I think it fits nicely with, again, Yesod HaYesodos V'Amud HaChochmos, right? That's just, even if you come, if you come, whether you have the cosmological proof of the existence of God or the ontological proof of the existence of God, but you come to the knowledge that there is a God, that will already get you up to the level of Chachmei Umas Olam, and that will get you to the level of Olam Haba, meaning immortality of the soul, meaning eternity of the intellect. Why? Because again, as Dr. Arthur Hyman said, the whole point of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is to, Rambam is being a pedagogue here, he's helping people attain the correct vistas of knowledge that will help preserve their intellects, Olam Haba. So that's why you can read Amud HaChachmos with this idea of Ela Mechachameihem. Okay, yeah? Wanted to?
Well, I guess you sort of answered the second part, we talked about the more of the book, but...
Yeah?
So the issue is whether you have... The first thing is you have to know God. You don't necessarily have to know God the way Rambam says you have to know God. You have to have some way that you have to prove the existence.
Right. Theoretically, so for example, let's say St. Thomas Aquinas had five ways of getting to the existence of God. Right. Now, I mean, the Rambam himself, fascinatingly, in the Mor Nevuchim, does something which, you know, some people feel very subversive. He destroys other proofs of the existence of God by some, you know, what are called the Kalam philosophers. The Kalam philosophers were Islamic theologians. So Rambam felt that we have to pursue the truth and nothing but the truth. So he said, their proofs of the existence of God are weak. My proofs of the existence of God are strong. So the Rambam actually disproves. Can you imagine that? You know, but he said it because it's not MS. So he felt his proofs are strong. But you're right. I mean, logically, if the Rambam would say, if someone comes up with another proof of existence of God, that is fine. That's great. By the way, even though we are post-Kant, you know, who the radical Kantians, the Kantians claim that Kant destroyed the cosmological proof, but there are still people in Zman Hazeh, like neo-Aristotelians, that feel this is still a valid way of looking at things. Let's suppose then you have the Big Bang. Good. So you go back 13.7 billion years. Good. So who created? You know, you still have to raise the question of, you know, again, the first 3 minutes of existence, right? What happened that the hydrogen atoms started to coalesce, right? So you would still push it back more than 5,770 years. Good. So, but there's still a difference between eternity, right, and 13.7 billion years. So there are those. I think Marvin Fox called a physicist called Jack Goldstein that made this point. Yeah, another point, or that's it. Okay. By the way, how far am I going today?
45.
We have to have this resolved tonight.
Okay.
Can't go any further.
Okay, so I'm ready. So, okay, so that really, you know, I thought there'd be more.
With the cosmological proof,
yeah.
At T1, we know there was never a time when there was nothing.
Hang on. The Ramah even doesn't even mention time. The Ramah mentions motion. Let me tell the other people here what Rabbi Oz is referring to. You know, there's a whole question in history of philosophy: what is time? So the Rambam says time is not a thing. Time is what he calls an accident of motion. You move from here to there through time. So therefore, according to the Rambam, if there are no things, there's no concept of time. See, Kant said time is time and space like the grid. You know, there is time and there is space, and we are in it, right? So and we use these as the, you know, the a priori categories, but according to Kant, time is not an accident of motion. There's something called time even without motion. Believe it or not, the Rambam didn't look at it that way. That's classic Aristotelian philosophy, that you only can talk about time when you can talk about motion. You only can talk about motion when you have things. So therefore, before God created the universe, there was no time because there were no things.
So he created time.
Right, yeah, right. Because he created, once he created things, right, and then things move, the Galgals knows after the first, you know, T plus 1 millisecond, when atoms started to move, so now then you had time.
Yeah. The whole idea, having read through Mark Goffman and then forgetting it, probably most of it, but that God really exists outside of time, outside of everything.
Yeah, right, utterly transcendent, yeah. He's utterly, utterly, literally, utterly transcendent. Yeah. Okay, so you know what? Maybe we'll already go on to Ikar number 2. If we'll, yeah?
Question. Remember that Ramban has a very strong...
Ramban?
Critic.
Ramban, yeah. Went to Ramban, yeah.
It's a very strong critic.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm focusing on Ramban, yeah.
If you could remind what was his point of Ramban.
Okay, there's actually a debate. There's actually a big debate. What the things are just briefly. I want to do Rambam. The Ramban. First of all, the Ramban, according to certain historians of Kabbalah, is hinting at what's called an emanationist theory of creation. Breshis bara Elokim. It's like God somehow took the universe out of himself, as it were. So that's the whole thing. Gershom Sholem has a whole very radical Kabbalistic understanding of the Ramban, but others dispute, you know, certainly other passages of the Ramban, other interpreters of the Ramban don't look at it that way, but the that's one issue. And then there's another issue, which again, Rav Chasdai Kreskos, a whole group of people say, forget about the content of the Rambam's understanding of the existence of God. They say it's absurd to count it as one of the 613 mitzvos. Right? Because this is like the, this is, you know, it's saying like in geometry, so you have a lot of theorems about, let's say, triangles. But you don't, but let's say Euclid. Euclid had five postulates, right? So before you discuss anything about triangles, he has the idea, you know, two parallel lines don't meet, right? So you don't count, that's not a theorem, that's a postulate, that's an axiom. So you don't count, an axiom should never be confused with a theorem. So people critique the Rambam for another point of view, that they simply don't count knowledge of God as one of the mitzvos. It's once you accept that there's a God, then and only then you're into the system, right? And so that's another critique.
So maybe the mitzvah is kind of to inquire, really to apply intellect,
okay,
to understand.
Right. But I will tell you the Rambam is not, you know, again, however we look at it today, the Rambam is not one of those people that today will say, well, it's just the, you know, the process, even if you don't get there. The Rambam also understands lay down. The Rambam believed that his proofs are solid. And the Rambam felt that you know, that it's not just the process, but it's even the destination, the result. Okay, good. Let's go to Ika number two. Hayesod Hasheni. So now that we say that there is a God, we are now saying the God that is one. Achduso Yisallah. For who? Shezeh Ilas Hakol, the source of everything, Echad. Now, let me first get some terms. There's what's called extra-deical unity of God and intra-deical unity of God. What does that mean? In other words, you could say like this. You could say there's two gods, right? Let's say we just had in the Torah several weeks ago, Yiftach was telling Moav, listen, Hashem gave us what he gave us, and you, Moav, you believe in Kamosh, right? And Kamosh gave you what you say he gave you, so don't bother us. So that's certainly polytheism, right? If you believe that there are two gods. If you believe it's Hashem and Kamosh, that's out. But the Rambam says, no, it's much more than that. The God that is not composed of parts either, right? It's not like a car that has wheels and tires and a chassis and a fender and windshield and things like that. He's totally one. Lo ka'achdus hamin, v'lo ka'achdus hasug. Right, it's not like any of the species of genus that has, you know, various members in it. V'lo k'davar ha'echad hamurkav shehu mischalek la'achadim rabim. It's not like one composite being that is composed of various parts. V'lo echad kiguf ha'pashut shu echad mamispar, but could be, you know, divided. Avu makabel chaluka vapitzel ad li sof. No, God can't be divided. Elahu yis Allah echad achdus shein achdus kamor b'shum panim. Right? We can't even conceive because everything we have, right? Every atom. Now we know. You think the atom is the lowest thing? No, you can split the atoms, the protons, and the neutrons, and the electrons, and all the subatomic particles. God is utterly one, and that, of course, what he says we mean in the Shema. V'zeh ha'yisod ha'sheni mora lov ma'shenemar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Okay.
Can I ask you just historically, this was written,
Ram's dates are 1138 to 1204.
So we have the Mishnah Torah,
When he writes what? So his earliest book is Perash HaMishnah. Perash HaMishnah, we have the evidence. It says we have the autographed copy of the Rambam. Actually, say he finished in 1168. He's 30 years old. That's why Kapach says all the people in the old books that used to write Rambam was born in 1135 are off by 3 years. Just makes him even more brilliant. I think even though his great-great-grandchildren made a mistake, but it's not the first time. A lot of people, you know, the grandparents came from Europe to America after the war somehow. they weren't 100% on the date of birth. We have the Rambam saying 100% when he was born. That's 1168. Mishneh Torah was finished about 1178, 10 years later. He had written the Sefer Mitzvos before then, you know, before he wrote the early stages of the Mishneh Torah. The Mor Nevuchim is like 10 years after that, coming towards 1190. So again, I'm reading from the Parish HaMishnah.
Okay, okay.
Right. But on this topic, there is a basic consistency. Again, a little more here, a little more there, a little less here, a little less there. There's a basic consistency. Let's read now in the Sefer Mitzvah. It's the same thing. Hu hatzivoy shetzivona bemunas hayachid v'ushenamin, that this poel hametzios. Again, that means the first cause. He's not afraid to use the language. You know, anyone that studied, the Arabic Aristotelians would recognize this. The Sibasar Rishana Echad, Vushe Amru Yisala Shema Yisrael Hashem Lekeno Hashem Echad, Avorov Hamidrashos. I'm saying Yomar Amanas LiYached. You have to unify God. What does that mean? Unified God. God is unified without us. It means in our mind, we should have a correct conception of God. LiYached is Shmi Amanas LiYached. Rav Mekeila wrote him, Boze Amar, that this thing, this God that through whose force acted in the world and Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim is utterly one. Shehu Amnam Votzim in Avus Amonamasha Somina Chesva Tov Nashanamen HaYichud Kirach Chayovim Boze. Rabbi Shema Mitzvahs Yichud. That is, by the way, how some people refer to the Shema, right? It is the V'yikruvu gamkein zos mitzvah malchus. Oh, wow. The Ram philosophizes, makes a philosophical twist. You know, Kabbalah's om achus shemayim. What does that mean? So according to the Rambam, that means the philosophical principle of recognizing the ultimate unity of God. Kiyem yomru, kidei l'kabel of om achus shemayim. You asked today, 100 out of 100 people, they'll say it means they have to do mitzvahs, even though it's difficult, and you know, you have to, you know, even machmir in certain halachas, that's omachu shemayim. Ram saying something else. It's the intellectual understanding of the utter radical unity of God. Rotzim lomar, lahodas biyichud. Amazing. Ulamino. Okay, now let's go to Mishneh Torah. We'll just sing all his works. Then he writes, Elokaze echad hu. Eino shnayim, lo yosa shnayim el echad. Same thing. She'ein ki yichudo echad min achadim nitzorim ba'olam. Lo echad kamin shu kol achadim harbib. Lech guf shu nechal machlokos l'tzavos. It's clear that I was looking at his previous works when he wrote this. He's a man has a lot of plagiarized himself. Elo yichud she'ein yichud acher kamoso ba'olam. Now, the Rambam, we have not read any proof of God's intra-deical unity. There is a proof. Probably we'll do it next time when we get to the third Iker, because the Rambam says the proof for the second Iker, which is God's Achdus, is intertwined with the third Iker, which is his incorporeality. But I don't discuss that tonight. Tonight I'll do one more thing. I want to discuss what I'll call the anti-Christian result of this Iker. Ram knew darn well that, you know, again, according to the Christian dogma, right, you have the three persons of God, but it's still one God, right? If you have a debate between the Jews and the Christians, so the Jews would say, you know, you're wrong because you are tritheists, right? They said, no, we're not, right? We're monotheists. And, you know, they were talking past each other. They say the Trinity, what's that got to do with monotheism? It's all one. So we say, no, it's not all one. And say, what do you mean? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three aspects, right? Or three persons in the one substance of God. So we say that's ridiculous. So according to the Rambam, it's right off the bat, you see that, Christianity, certainly in classic Catholicism, is a violation of this second Ikar. Okay, that's a very interesting...
Even if it's not called...
Yeah, okay, so that's it. No, see, let's put it this way. We say that monotheism means not... it becomes a semantic issue. We say monotheism means not only that there's God and there's, Kamosh, and there's the Hindu God, but we say the God that exists is utterly one. So to say that there's a Father up there and the Son down here, and the Holy Spirit, which is the third thing, is a violation of that. Right, so that's very interesting. According to the Rambam, just to anticipate a little bit, Christianity is a violation of Ikar number two. It's also obviously going to be, we'll see that next time, a violation of Ikar number three. Islam, there's no problem of really the first five Ikrim. What's going to wreck Islam is it's a violation of number six, which is Navi Sheker. Okay. Yeah, okay, so we'll stop here and Mr. Shem will pick it up Wednesday night. Okay. So good. So Baruch Hashem, we got a lot done. Okay.